Hello, and welcome to Astrobloom Podcast with Vanya Banks. Join me as we journey into the earthly and celestial realms to uncover the mysteries of the universe and the healing power of plants and planets. By tuning into this podcast, you'll learn how to find wholeness within, integrate your shadow, and build a secure foundation to unlock the full expression of your authentic self. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Astrobloom podcast. I'm Vanya Banks, spiritual astrologer and healing guide. And today with me, I have Jenna Goodhand from Cafezia. I'm so excited to chat with her about the ritual of coffee, and not just any coffee, but Cafezia coffee, which you're going to learn is a very feminine approach to coffee. Welcome, Jenna.
Hi, Vanya. Thank you so much for having me. I love that intro. And just the little sneak peeks about why coffee is so special, especially the Cafezia kind.
So I'd love to get started by, you know, just giving a brief intro of who you are, Jenna, because I always love to know about the people, you know, behind the business. I think as small business owners, we are our brand. And I would love for people to get to know you a little bit better. You know, if you know your big three in astrology, for example, if you know your human design type, that way the listeners might be able to relate to you on that energetic level, aside from, you know, all of the things we're going to be discussing about Cafezia itself and, you know, the magic that you're really sort of brewing into the world with it.
Love it. Well, I'll start with the big three and my human design, because I think that will explain a lot more when I go into detail. But sun in Cancer, moon in Aries, Aquarius rising, and I am a manifesting generator. So entrepreneurship is my everything. I have been a business owner well before I even called myself that. I think, you know, I was on the playground making bracelets, selling them when I was a kid in university. I started my own vegan cupcake business. Like, I've always just seen a need for something to, you know, fill someone's life in some way of healing or social justice or just value to the community. And so I spent a lot of my life learning about people, learning what they need to feel their authentic selves, how to show up in this world in ways that make them feel welcome. And so I've been a coach for many years. Before Cafezia, that was my primary focus, but this business has really kind of taken over a lot of my life. But I've spent, you know, over a decade training, certifying coaches. I have a public speaking training where I help people overcome their fears of public speaking so they can use their voice to share with the world their stories. And during the pandemic, 2 years ago, I ended up buying this wellness coffee company, ironically. So I don't have any previous experience in food and beverage other than being a human and consuming those items. So this journey has been remarkable. And what's been so great about it is it's coffee. And as we all know, coffee is a part of so many of our lives. And so it's been this opportunity to kind of like pair something that's a part of our lives already with these values that are really important to me, like self-care, wellness, rituals, connection, community, and what better vehicle than coffee is kind of how I feel about it.
I love that so much. And I feel like it really, you know, the story that you just told really speaks to like your astrological makeup, you know, being a Cancer sun, right? Aries moon and Aquarius rising, especially with that Cancer moon, it is all about being nurturing, right? Understanding what people's needs are, and how to help people nurture themselves. And then the Aries moon really is that like initiator. It's that leader. It's that, I think, entrepreneurship side. And of course, Aquarius rising, kind of helping to break out of the box of like, you know, maybe some of the traditional thinking. So I love how that really shows up in your story there, and how you're, you know, leading more people down this path with your story and with your product and empowering them with that Aries moon to do that, you know, through the confidence, you know, speaking, workshops and things like that as well. So I love that.
Yeah.
So, when we are talking about Cafezia and, you know, just coffee in general, I'd love to learn a little bit more about, how is Kefetia different than your regular cup of coffee? Because I think that, yeah, we're all fueled by coffee in various ways. And I think in our modern culture, it becomes a really kind of masculine approach to just getting that caffeine fix, right? Just to start our day. And I think that ritual element of, you're actually engaging with a powerful medicine, with a plant, with something that is really feminine or yin in its nature. But we've become so distanced from like the way that we actually engage with it.
Yeah,
And that I
you
think
said
it's been
it.
engaged with in, for thousands of years. So I'd
Yeah.
love to learn a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
From Kefetia's view, from your view.
Love that. So, everything is energy, and coffee, as you alluded to, the energy we've put behind it has really changed over the years. And especially with Western culture, we've actually used coffee as a tool to exploit workers. That's kind of where it became this thing where, in the Industrial Revolution, it was used as a very cheap way to keep people working longer hours without having to take breaks. And so that kind of, came over to North America, and it's become this sort of like hustle mentality of like stay up late, burning the midnight oil, like go, go, go. And, getting these large cups of coffee by yourself in your car. It's just really stripped away the beautiful way in which coffee actually was a part of like our human evolution of community and culture. And if you look at cultures all over the world, there's not really a place on this planet of Earth that coffee is not a part of some cultural ritual. And so Kefetia, like as it's made up as a product, is an organic, fair trade, premium coffee. So we start with, as clean and as caring and as sustainable as we can be, and then we infuse it with herbs. And what the herbs do is they actually change the way the body absorbs caffeine, so that the uptake isn't so hard on your nervous system. So you get the same amount of caffeine. It's just coming into the bloodstream at a slower rate, which allows the nervous system to be like, everything's okay. The brain still gets the clarity, the focus, the stimulation. And the other benefit is that the herbs level out the acidity. So no heartburn, no inflammation in the gut. And they have their own special powers as well. So as a product, if you just look at the like nutritional or like healing or physical aspects of that product, it's just coffee that's better for you. But then when you look deeper at sort of like the symbolism or like the value of it, we're trying to slow not just the caffeine down, we're trying to slow each other down. We're trying to take back some of that goodness that came from the roots of coffee and incorporate them back into our lives. Some cultures, they're doing great with that. But definitely, living in North America, even in my own life, the hustle mentality coming from the coaching industry, it's hard not to hustle. It's really hard, especially when you are passionate and you can see that, like, the harder I work, the more lives I change. It's really, really hard to slow yourself down unless you intentionally build it into your life. And that's where, we can talk about habits or rituals, but ritual is more like ceremonial. It's got more of like an intention behind it versus just habits of like, I wake up, I put my coffee machine on. A ritual is could be more like, even if you're still using your coffee machine, it's like you're taking those 5 to 10 minutes to maybe like read a quote of the day or do some journaling or think about your intentions. But it's something more intentional than just like the default way that we're living our life. So as a company, there's kind of that duality of like the internal, physical well-being, mental, emotional, spiritual, and then also communal well-being. How can we get back to having conversations with each other? It is such a polarized world right now. It's so hard for people to feel even safe to talk about the questions they may have, the fears they may have. But when we think about coffee houses and the way in which those allowed people to have very differing views, but to listen to each other, and you don't walk away saying that person's like, it's not about being right or wrong. It's like, that's interesting. That's a curious way of looking at it. So we're trying to just use this beautiful plant that's been around for so long that we're already familiar with, and just encouraging people to, in a very simple daily way, just get back to those roots for themselves and incorporate it into their life.
I love that so much. There's a few threads there that I really want to follow up on. And I think one of them is, this difference between like a habit and a ritual. So it's interesting because I feel like our mission sort of in our businesses are really aligned in this sense, because I think what we're really talking about here is running like a very yin centered or feminine centered business in a largely patriarchal or masculine world. Of course, I think those energies are shifting now. Like, we do have more businesses really trying to be more balanced because the individuals running the businesses are trying to find that balance internally. And I think there's really this draw within ritual, within incorporating ritual into your daily practice of like returning within. Like going within. I think that's really what distinguishes ritual from a habit, because with a ritual, we're taking that moment to be centered in the self before we actually perform that act. And so it becomes a more spiritual, or kind of, it doesn't have to be spiritual if you're not a spiritual being. I truly believe everyone is a spiritual being, but if you don't identify with that word, it doesn't have to be spiritual. But it's all about coming back to the self, and it really shines a light, I think, on more of the kind of lunar practices, right? In astrology, the sun is the masculine, the sun is the yang, and we live in a world that revolves around, the energy of the sun. We work 9 to 5 jobs largely, although again, that's changing. We live on that daily rhythm, whereas the moon is our 28-day cycle. It waxes and wanes. It is also more of that yin or hidden self energy, and it's what we need to take care of ourselves on like an emotional level. So I think what you're describing really is the same thing that, I'm really trying to get to in my work and with my teas as well, of like connecting to that lunar self, connecting to that inner self. So I really, really love that approach.
Tanya, I love that because when I meet people who probably wouldn't say they have any rituals, they're not really yet kind of like, not that they're not open, but they're just kind of coming to this for the first time. I always ask them about their relationship with the moon. And oftentimes they're like, relationship with the moon. And the reason I start there is because I feel like the moon is the easiest way to begin having this. In these inner moments with yourself, whether it's just new moon, full moon, right? Illuminate, look at the dark, like it's just the easiest way, like once a month to
Totally.
kind of have these touch points of seeing the darkness come and the light come. And so I really love that you brought that up because I feel like, yeah, even just the sun, the moon, I'm on board with everything you just said.
I love that. And it's also, I think it's particularly important as women living in today's world, right? Because we are meant to be more lunar in nature, or I should just say people who have more feminine energy, right? You don't have to identify as a woman. You just have to have more feminine energy and be more inclined to lead from that side of self. And so I think especially for those beings, it's really difficult to live in this world that promotes like hustle culture and, leads to burnout. And that's why it becomes so important to look to the moon and work with the lunar cycle. And like you said, even on a monthly basis, it is that return to self. Like, what is coming up for me this month? Am I giving too much? Am I not receiving enough? Am I not taking care of myself the way that I should be? Right. I absolutely love that you actually ask people that question, because it's not something that, comes up often. So I absolutely love that. And on that thread, I'd love to understand, what led you to towards sort of leading this more, I guess, lunar life, we can call it, right? Like being more inclined to look to the moon yourself, because I'm assuming this came from a personal experience, which is why you're posing that question to others.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to where it all began. I guess, I mean, I'm just gonna listen to my gut and what popped into my being right now was I used to run a community space called The Hive. And it was this old farmhouse that I rented out as sort of like a community organic like project to see what would happen if you had space and you sort of like offered it to the community and you didn't give it much of an identity. And because I was curious, like, who would come? How would they use this space? And I would say prior to that point in my life, I didn't have a lot of exposure or a lot of relationships in my life with people who, you know, like it was my first exposure to like astrology, tarot, the moon, like using herbs for heal. It was just, it was I came of a very academic background. Not that this isn't academic, this way of moving, but it was very feminine. And very quickly, there was a lot of people who would say, you, this is operating as like a feminine business model. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it was sort of this like, it was like work because it was my business. But it for me, it was also this like personal journey through exploring Reiki for the first time. And, you know, like what's a doula? Like I literally was, I was so, I don't even know what the term is. There's a whole world of people who are healing and helping and nurturing. And all I had ever known about that world was setting goals and figuring out what's in the way of your goal. Let's figure it out. You got to change your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs. It was very masculine and very almost like aggressive in nature. And so these people, this community that sort of used this space really, really helped me to see my feminine side, which is very strong in me. But I had very much embraced the masculine side of myself for a very long time for other life reasons. And so I think it made me open to anything. Like it made me, oh, you see a portal over there? Maybe there's a portal over there. Like it helped me to see the world is more than like the limited box that I've been living in. It's more of a sphere and it's more of a, you know, like ever moving and evolving space. So yeah, I think after that, I mean, it was out kind of in the country. So at night I'd drive home and the moon would kind of be spotlighting me. So I think I just, you know, I started to see the moon and then I just never stopped. I just, you know, she's so important to me at this point in my life. Yeah, I look for her every night, see what she's up to and kind of relate that to what's going on in my life.
I love that. It's interesting. You also, you brought up the drives with the moon there, and sort of drawing in this community of, more like feminine embodied individuals, because, well, you probably know, and you might not, and that's okay. But the moon is ruled, or the moon rules the sign Cancer. So in a way, because your sun sign is like your life purpose, it's how you shine your light, it's what gives you energy. But at the same time, this makes your moon sign in your chart almost like really important for you to tap into to actually use your sun sign energy, if that makes sense. So it's almost like you needed to learn how to balance the yin and the yang so that you could actually like learn about what is my identity and like how do I lean into that, right?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. But in terms of, living this entrepreneurship life, why would you say it's like, are there any other reasons why you would say it's important to lean into this more like feminine or yin side through your own experience or the people that you've coached?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say you probably know more on this topic than I do. I can kind of just share maybe like what it feels like to me, but I feel like as an entrepreneur, especially you know, identifying as a woman, we're still not in a world where we're seen as maybe like being taken seriously or capable of certain things. And what I felt a lot was that like by nature, I'm silly, I'm quirky, I'm sweet, I'm like a little kid, but it felt like I couldn't be that feminine, sweet side of myself in the world of business, especially as a trainer. And in many situations, like I was younger than the people I was training or working for or coaching. And so it felt like I was constantly, you know, like putting within my own mind these phrases or these sayings about going hard, reaching certain goals. I had to be better than everybody I was training because like they're looking up to me as to like what they could be. And so this really ties into where I really felt like this company has to be anti-hustle, because at this point in my life, I've had way too many hospital visits. I've had way too many health problems that I know are results of my hustling. I can't, like, it is so intuitively known to me that it's because I wouldn't stop. I couldn't take care of myself. I wasn't like properly eating, sleeping, just taking time out. And I could hear my body, like if anyone listening has had this before, like your body starts to tell you, we have a problem, you need to stop. And you just keep going. And then it's not until it's screaming or literally like bleeding on you, or you've got some sort of like disorder that you like need emergency help, that like you finally stop. And that it was so shocking to me as somebody who was so aware of their thoughts, their feelings, and their beliefs, that I still kept pushing through my body saying, you're gonna kill yourself. What are you doing? And I would keep doing it, and I would keep making these like promises to my body. And like, Vanya, I ended up in the hospital over the same health complication like half a dozen times until I finally was like really, like you are, I'm putting like a full stop on you. You are not allowed to hustle. And so when the pandemic happened, I couldn't run my community space because people can't gather. No one's renting co-working space. All of my training, required traveling, public speak, like nothing. I couldn't do anything. And like the entrepreneur in me was like, I'm of no value. I just felt like so valueless. And this company kind of came across. I had known about it. I'd known about the product that was invented. And I was like, you know what? Coffee, wellness coffee is like pandemic proof. That was the first thought I had. It wasn't this huge thing about like, I'm gonna change, the way that we look at the world and our feminine intuition and ritual. It wasn't that at first. It was just like, this is a good product. I can drink it without having panic attacks, and I can't with other coffee. So let's start there. Let's see what happens. And when I started to do, when you start to explore, okay, who are my competitors? I looked at the world of coffee, and I didn't drink coffee before this coffee because it gave me anxiety. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of, and I won't mention any names because coffee is great for everybody, but a lot of the names of very popular, more independent coffee companies are very masculine. They've got war terms, fighting terms, that like hard energy words. And I was like, well, I don't want to be that. How can we be different in this world of coffee? And I was like, the opposite of what everyone is doing is actually like chilling out. And then I started to explore like the culture of coffee, and I was like, of course, like coffee was never about this. This is us as, people in the West just being so driven by this like false idea of success, and achieving something that we literally are like anxiety inducing, burning ourselves out. And so that's where I was like, yeah, like if I make this coffee company about being like anti-hustle mentality, then like I have to live that. Like I have to be anti-hustle, otherwise like they'll find me out, right? Like, I have to match my brand. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is the way I avoid burnout. Is I mean, it's, obviously I believe in this and I want this for everybody, but it also is like, your business has to take care of you as an entrepreneur. Like it has to take care of you. You know this. Like if what you're doing for your business does not align with who you are, especially like depending on your design, like you will get sick and you will be miserable and unhappy, and you'll find all of this pointless. So I'm really happy like where I arrived with like the intention behind this, and to be able to communicate that to people because they want it. The number of people who are like, I didn't know coffee gave me anxiety. I drink this coffee and now I don't have anxiety. It just makes me so happy, because how do you make choices for yourself that align with your natural, authentic self when you're anxious? You can't. It's like your body is flooded with cortisol and all these hormones that like make your decision making not very good. So yeah, it just feels so good that like we can do something so simple. It's just coffee. Just drink a different cup, this kind of coffee every day. And like it really can start to give you clarity in your life and in your nervous system. Yeah, so that's kind of like how it kind of arrived for me personally at this spot.
Are you interested in unlocking the full expression of your authentic self through plants and planets? Go to astrobloom.ca and use the code astrobloompod to save 10% off of your astrology reading. I love that. And like coming from someone who also has had numerous bouts of anxiety and burnout episodes and things like that, I haven't drank caffeinated coffee. Like I do every once in a while, but I usually mix it with my Swiss water decaf. So I'll definitely have to try Cafetia because I have not yet tried it. Because it's totally what I need as well. Like I can't handle caffeine, even though I think I can. It definitely doesn't agree with me on like a nervous system level. And the other thing that's really interesting about what you said is I feel like Cafetia was really your way to healing your own, you know, yin and yang balance and finding that slowness, right? It was almost like an excuse. I don't want to say an excuse, but like it was something you could, you know, work for, but that'll gave you the permission to lean into that more yin side, right? Which I find is like a similar path that I've taken with Astro Bloom and with my lunar teas as well. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like, and it's interesting. I don't know your age, but I feel like, you know, the women who came before me did have it harder. And my generation, maybe our generation, it's like the first time that we really can be taken like somewhat seriously as running a business. And it's like, I feel the responsibility of also, setting a good example. Like, I guess what I mean by that is like, I don't want to set the example that you can do it all and you can do it 110% in every category. That's not sustainable. So like, and again, like, you know, what I know of your business, like, it's like, I want women, men, anyone to see how we're doing it and realize you can do business a different way. It doesn't have to be the way that you've seen other people do it or this idea of how to do it. And so I also feel that kind of responsibility. Like, when I'm, you know, working on certain areas of the business, I ask myself, like, what am I doing because it's always been done this way, or this is how I've seen it, and what actually feels like the right way to me to do this, or how would I want people in the future to do it? So that it's, you know, like in one of your episodes, you know, I think, did you say you come from Central Europe, Eastern Europe?
Eastern Europe, yeah.
Yeah. So I was very fortunate to live in a small village in Hungary for a couple of years.
Oh, nice.
And it was slow. It was slow relief. It was like everything, and like people still traded food and there was no advertising. And I think that also just gave me a sense of like, you can live a different way, be totally fulfilled with like so much. I mean, I only had like a few things from home. Like we think we need so much.
I know.
And all of that just like fuels like anxiety and this like machine that we have to keep up with, but you really can just strip it all away and down to the basics. And that's kind of like what I want to show too, like as just like a, you know, a woman entrepreneur is, you know, it can be simple. Work hard, be dedicated, be passionate, be committed, but it doesn't mean you have to give up the things that balance you out. So how can I communicate that and show that to, you know, people coming up behind us, or even maybe we can inspire those who've been living that, like, you know, that hustle to just like simmer down a bit and not be afraid they're going to lose it all.
Totally. I think it's a very, like fear driven behavior to live in that. I mean, we could go into a whole other discussion around capitalism and all the
Yes.
things, but we won't go there today. I think that, yeah, it's just it is more of like that fear of losing the things that we have, right? But I think once we take the step to maybe live without some of the comforts that we're used to, we realize that we can actually live with much less, and that we don't need to have the newest car, the biggest house, the whatever, whatever level of success you want to name, or perceived success, that what really matters is, how you feel inside and your health as well at the end of the day. So yeah, no, I really love that. And actually I'm an eighth Hungarian, so I'll have to I don't know where my great grandmother was from in Hungary, but I'll have to look into it and we'll have to chat about
Oh,
that.
it's honestly, it has so much of my heart. Like it was the best time of my life. I love Hungarian people. It was just such a different experience having grown up in Canada, and just, yeah, it was so, yeah, let's chat about that sometime for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd love to also learn a little bit more, kind of switching gears. You mentioned, there's a few different herbs that are infused with the coffee and cafetia. I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit about that and maybe, what the herbs are used for, and how they work synergistically with the coffee to sort of have that more, yin effect.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just a little background on how it sort of came to these three herbs. So, a roaster and a neuroscientist, biochemist, immunologist were in a long distance running group together, and the roaster had said to the scientist, these are the challenges that people have. Could we explore like what we could do to change these, reduce them, eliminate them, so people can enjoy coffee, all day long, every day, without these negative side effects? And so, given his history of understanding plants, working with plants as medicine, he found three herbs that, when used together, change the way the body decides to uptake caffeine and also level out the acidity. And so the three herbs are cleavers, hyssop or hyssop, depending on how you pronounce it, and yerba mate. And individually, they also have their own health benefits. And I'd mentioned to you earlier, I was in Salem recently, and when I was at one of these witch museums, I saw hyssop like hung as like an herb used in witchcraft or magic. And so I was like, oh, like I haven't explored that with these herbs before. I mean, like, I think of all plants as spiritual and having, their own place in our life, but I wonder, what's historically been said about them. So I did a little research right before this chat. So it kind of adds to
Amazing.
it because, yeah, we've also been talking about how, if witches had a coffee brand, it would probably be Cafetia, because it's like
Totally.
plant-inspired coffee. So I was like, this is like very interesting. It's kind of like a witch's brew, which is like so just like on my personal brand of like liking
Yeah.
that. So, yeah, cleavers, they are the one that we have the most of in our coffee. And for anyone listening who hasn't tried this coffee, you don't taste the herbs. They're mostly in there as like a health boost, and also to just change the absorption rate, but you don't taste them. So the cleavers are really good for anything to do with skin, hair, your nervous system, so helping to just give you that kind of like chill response. And spiritually, they've been associated with renewal, of like beginning and starting again. They are known as like a cooling herb, to reduce heat in the body. So that was kind of cool. Hyssop, that one has the most kind of like medicinal, health benefits, spiritual connection that we saw when we looked at this. Primarily, what it's so great about is really good for circulation, really good for respiratory conditions, gastrointestinal. It's great at boosting the immune system. So it's really good for like almost like every area of the body. Often it's been used in Chinese medicine for dealing with like flu symptoms, sore throats, things like that. And it's been used for like a very long time. I don't want to put a number because I don't have my notes with me, but for clearing negative energy. So people would bathe in it, or they'd make like a tea with it and put it in their bath. They'd make little like bags of it and like keep it in their pocket. So hyssop was known to ward off negative energy, to eliminate like curses or jinx or anything like that. So I love that. That's pretty witchy. And then yerba mate, a very popular drink in South America. Indigenous tribes actually called it like the herb of the gods, and it's been used a lot in ceremonies, rituals. But also, it's just like a really popular drink if you go to South America. It has loads of health benefits, antioxidants, good for the immune system. What are some other things? Digestion. And what I love about it is that there's a ceremony where, like, it'll be brewed and that'll be passed around in like a shared cup, where everybody within the circle is sharing from the same cup, and it's kind of like a symbol of friendship and building relationships, and it's like this communal thing. So that's, totally my jam too. So those are our three herbs. And I think we need to highlight them more because as I was like prepping for this, I was like, they're pretty awesome and we don't talk about them enough. So yeah, they're kind of the magic to what makes our coffee a different experience than other coffees for sure.
I love that. So I don't actually know, just judging from, the actions that you described and sort of the ways they've been used. I definitely know a lot about cleavers, and it's interesting because cleavers is a lunar herb, like a very lunar herb. So it's really associated with the moon because it really connects to, it purifies the waters in our own body, right? Like it's a really lymphatically cleansing herb. So it purifies the lymphatic system. It gets rid of like swelling, stuff like that. Like that's why it's so great for the skin because it clears any toxins from the body, right? So they actually say that if you drink like cleavers infused water, you're like for a certain amount of days or whatever, as like a little ritual, like you become more beautiful. Like that's like the folk tale around cleavers. So it's, and also, the moon being associated with the sign of Cancer, it's interesting that that is in your blend.
Love that.
Yeah. And then hyssop is I know it's a mint family plant, and I always think of the sun when I think of mint family plants in general. The sun being like that life force energy, right? More of like that fire element, which I think probably really assists with its application on the digestive system, right? So yeah, maybe helping to stimulate that digestive fire. But I know it is used quite a bit in respiratory health as well. So I would imagine there's some association there with the sun, but probably also either mercury or something like that. Yerba mate, because it's not an herb that's usually used in like traditional Western herbalism, which is what I've studied. Because it is more from like, indigenous tribes, I believe, in South America, Central America. Just based on what you're describing, it really gives me like maybe more like Uranus, Aquarius vibes, because of that connection to like friendship, community. And I think it is also, it acts on the nervous system. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, it does. So it actually has caffeine in it,
Yeah.
similar
Okay.
to the way that like tea, like so there's like certain properties in plants that have caffeine, and so it kind of acts similar to tea in that it doesn't give you that like rush, but it's almost like a stimulate. It's a stimulant. But more of like a cleaner one that does more work on the brain than like the nervous system.
Okay, that's totally what I thought because I remember like having conversations with people around, caffeine and coffee versus caffeine in like green tea and things like that, and then people mentioning sometimes like yerba mate as a substitute. And so to me, like coffee and yerba mate do fall maybe more in that realm of either a mercury plant or a Uranus plant, because both mercury and Uranus have to do with like our nervous system, our brain, like stimulation and like taking care of like our nervous health. So it's interesting that like all three of these herbs put together kind of also correlate to your energetic makeup in some ways. Yeah, uncertain about hyssop 100% on what the planets would be, but this is just my intuition speaking based on, the things I know about them in terms of their actions and what you've described in your research. So
It's
I
really
love that.
interesting because like I said, like I've always been like open. But until things kind of come into your realm, you don't see them, right? And I think one of the great things about the fact that this is like herbs in coffee is, even maybe tying in that more feminine, move away from this masculine energy of coffee is this for some people is like the introduction to the world of herbs. It's so silly. We know that salad is good for us, plants, greens, leaves. But then you tell someone oh, even something as simple as peppermint tea is good for your tummy if it comes up, and people are like, that's weird. That's but so I feel like we're also helping people to get comfortable with plants as medicine, which is really exciting. And even for myself, like yourself, I was like, I was very nervous to try this coffee. I really liked the person who introduced it to me, but I was like, I don't know, me and caffeine do not go well. Even a little bit, even sometimes dark chocolate or things that have caffeine bits, coffee bits in it, will send my nervous system off right away. So I was very nervous, but me and this other woman who also was nervous, had a cup, and we were like, let's see what happens. I'm here for you, you're here for me. And you try to prep your brain to be like, I'm gonna be okay. And I really was okay. And it's given me more trust in herbs. This is amazing to me that this works. And now that I'm 2 years into this, and we've had hundreds of people who are like, this is the only coffee I can drink. This has solved my gut issues. This has solved my, anxiety or sleeplessness. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is really working. I was so nervous. Something might work in your body, but not someone else's. But it's really given me more confidence in herbs, and I hope that it gives that to other people too, that they realize, yeah, and it doesn't take a lot. That's the other thing I think in maybe it's Western culture, or maybe it's just this mentality that more is better, or more is more impactful. But there's not a lot of herbs in each cup of coffee, but it's just enough. It's just enough to change the way the body decides to experience it. And so that's really exciting to me. Yeah, because that's probably so much of what you're trying to communicate to people is plants are medicine, and herbs can change us, not just physically but emotionally, allow us to have different mental experiences, or connect the different parts of our body to one another, and have these spiritual experiences as well. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, most, well, I should say the origin of religions, if we look back far enough to ancient Greece, being like a polytheistic religion, it was a much more feminine approach. So if we're talking about spirituality and like the ritual of consuming plants in a ritual setting, it actually is a spiritual practice because plants and their medicine, their energetic or physical effects, were actually used in rituals to connect to source, to connect to the gods. And you can learn all about that if you look up like the Eleusinian mysteries. And I mean, there's a lot of theories around what actually went on there. But essentially, this was like a 3-day pilgrimage that everyone, no matter what your class, age, gender was, went on in ancient Greece. And it began by consuming some kind of beverage that they actually, there's theories that they mentioned that it was like probably a type of beer or something like that, infused with different plants that actually had like psychoactive compounds in them. So obviously not saying that Cafetia has this type of energy, but just saying that this is a very feminine approach to spirituality is the use of things that Mother Earth, Gaia, the feminine being that gives life to everything around us, including us, is kind of that vehicle to spirit, to religion, whatever you want to call it, right? So it is a really earth-centered way and yin-centered way of kind of returning back to that balance of the feminine and masculine, because it's actually how things have been done in the past. We've just kind of lost our way in recent years. So
I love that.
yeah, I love that so much.
I love that.
And is there anything else that you wanted to share as we sort of wrap up our hour together about, cachexia or the practice of ritual, maybe what that looks like in your life, anything at all, any words of wisdom, whatever
Sure.
inspiration strikes.
Yeah, I think, I want to encourage people to find ritual in their life and maybe starting by asking themselves, like, what does ritual look like to them? I think sometimes, we just had a holiday weekend here. And, what I do in my life over those days is different than others, but we have this idea of what it's supposed to be like. And so I think, like, sitting with yourself, asking maybe what your story is about what rituals are, and then asking yourself, like, what do you want rituals to be? Because I think, most people listening to this are probably adults with the free will to construct their days in some way. And so, ritual doesn't have to be something extremely formal. It can be something as simple as, 5 minutes of silence in a special place in your house. It can be that, as simple as making a French press of coffee and just sitting with the coffee for the 4 minutes or the 5 minutes that you let it brew. As you're pouring it, just thinking about what you're grateful for, how you want the day to go. And also, like, exploring rituals for yourself. Try one for a week, see how you feel. Yeah, I don't know if that's wisdom, but just like something I'd really love. I just like when I think about if the world woke up every day and they had 5 minutes with their coffee to just think about how do I want to show up in this world? What am I grateful for? And then we, like, unleash them into the world. I just feel like we'd have a very different experience with each other. Would it change the world overnight? No. But, I think every person who can leave their home feeling more centered in themselves is going to show up more centered in the world. And that's my hope. That's if we can do a little bit of that with the first cup of the day, then that'll make me happy.
I love that so much. It all comes back to, coming back to the self, not maybe basing your sense of self on outside circumstances, on, the stresses of daily life, not getting carried away by any chaos you might experience on your morning commute or things like that. Because I think when you just carve out those few minutes in the morning to come back to the self, take some deep breaths, have your cup of coffee. Have that connection to spirit through plants, to your own spirit, to the spirit of the plants. I think that's such a lovely way to create a ritual out of something that seems really ordinary, right?
Yeah, if I can add one more thing, I've been really onto this lately, which is just reminding myself it's okay to go slow. Like, slow is okay. And that might seem very obvious to a lot of people, not to me. And I know there's a lot of people who really struggle with that idea, but like, going slow is okay. It's okay to go slow. And so, adding that somewhere into your life, whether it's like a reminder on your phone, something you put in your car or on your mirror, or a place where you find yourself getting into this like hustle or like gotta go fast, gotta rush in the morning, gotta whatever it is, it's okay to go slow. Every place that we feel stuck or that we want to go faster, like those are also moments, right? Where if we're stuck in the car, well, we're in the car. Like, it's okay. We're in the car. We're safe, hopefully. And it's okay to go slow in the car. Like, the world will keep moving. There's nothing that we need to do to keep it moving. Everything is constantly evolving and changing without our input. And it's okay to go slow. And if you travel to a space in your town that you go by all the time and you drive, you bike, or you walk, it's a totally different experience. When you walk, you see things you've never seen before because you're going slow. And so I try to remind myself that, like, slow is that chance to see things that I wouldn't otherwise see, feel things, catch maybe that like look or that word that the person I'm talking to is saying. So yeah, I'm really into this, like, it's okay to go slow right now. So I'm trying to spread the word.
Yeah, I love that. And I think what I would also add to that is not to like point fingers or anything, but it's like I always love to think about these things as, if you don't feel okay going slow, like if it feels like you are not able to slow down, then maybe looking within at like why do you feel this way? Is it because you're looking externally at what everyone else is doing, or is it because of something you've learned that, like, oh, maybe I'm not good enough if I don't go fast enough, right? So I think it's always interesting to explore things from that perspective too. So thank you for mentioning that as well, because I definitely love that topic. And especially this time of year, you know, we are at this point inching very close to Scorpio season, and that is a time. You know, moving towards Samhain as well. It's a time of like death, release, letting go, slowing down, entering the darkest period of the year, and really connecting to that witch archetype, right? And connecting to our rituals and our magic. And I think Kefetia is really here to help us do that. So I absolutely love that. And thank you so much, Jenna, for sharing your wisdom and for doing this work in the world. Yeah, I'm so grateful to have had you as a guest here. I will leave all of the information on how you can find Jenna and Kefetia in the show notes. And yeah, thank you everyone for listening. And thank you, Jenna, for being here.
Thank you, Vanya. It's been such a pleasure.